Morning, men, and welcome back to the show. As always, I am your host, Todd Archer, and this is the Call of Men podcast. So thankful and grateful for you being here today to listen or hear what God has been talking to my heart to, like I said, on the last show for about 3.5 years. Just so thankful. A couple of things as we start off this show today. One is that each time I come on here and speak, it is prayed, everything that God, I feel like God is leading me through the Spirit, is prayed that there's none of me in it, that it is only the Word of the Father, the wisdom that through His Spirit that we have through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that He is given to me or allowed me to see within His Word, and I am only the voice of that there is none of me in it. That is my constant prayer and hope that this comes through as that this is the things that He has shown me as I seek His will and His Word, not just His Word. With that said, I want to make clear in a statement of my faith that God is in control of all things. Nothing is beyond or out of His control. As I've said to a lot of people that know me and that are close to me, is that if we set off all the nuclear bombs on this planet at one time, when the smoke cleared, everything that God created and willed to be would still be here after it. That what we do has no effect on what God is going to do. And so we have to stand in that. For me, we have to stand in that faith that He is the absolute. Father, Son, and Spirit, they are the absolute. That there is nothing above them. We do not, we're not above them. We're not even on the same level as them. He is the creator. And when He says it is time for us to go. Now, little backstory that comes from the life that He has allowed me to lead, to see things the way that they need to be spoken. I have to believe, because I've let down by my mom, my dad, excuse me, different people in my life. My faith has to be 100% in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that there is no other, that their truth stands fast and above any word of man. So that's just kind of my statement of faith to all y'all that are listening. Again, I am thankful that each one of y'all tune in and choose to lend an ear to what God has led me in. So today, the name of the show is God's Word versus the Bible. Now, I talked a little bit about this in the intro to season 4 reboot. And what I mean by God's Word versus the Bible, why should we say the Word of God says and not the Bible says? Well, in this follower of Christ's humble opinion, this is the word of the Creator given to us for our growth in Him and to Him. And I believe it's important as followers of Christ, as He did, we should always give honor and glory to the Father. Now, how, by saying the Bible says, we are dishonoring the power and authority of our Father in heaven. So we cannot say the Bible says, because the Bible It's simply a book. It has no power. It has no authority over anything. It is just a book. Now, we understand it as a book that contains the inspired word of God, and every bit of it is good for teaching, reproof, all of that. We understand that. But at the same time, we cannot be so comfortable that we give the authority to the book instead of the author of the book. So Satan did the same thing in the garden in Genesis 1 through 5, where he first removes the position of authority from the Lord God to Adam and Eve. Because if you read in Genesis 1 through 5, it says the Lord God said you could eat of any tree that is in the garden. That's what he told Adam, right? And then when he comes to Eve, he removes the position of authority, which is Lord, when he says, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Same thing. If we remove God's word, are we not removing the power and position of authority out of by saying the Bible? Just my opinion. This is what I think, because we have to get back to giving honor and reverence back to our Creator, back to the one who gave us this word. Why? So we can know Him better, so we could understand Him. Like I said in the last show, and I'll continue to say it all the way through, God did not create man to know man. God created man to know God. He created all His creation to know Him, and all His creation but us listen to what God says. The earth, the seas, the trees, the grass, the birds, all things except for us. Why? Because we think we are more than what we are. We are created. We are not the creator. So to me, when I hear a teacher or a leader of Christ's church says that the Bible says he is taking away the authority and power of the Lord God of His word, and therefore it is just a book to all those who hear. So, because Satan has influenced the leaders of the corporate church to remove the authority from God's word in the minds of new believers, and not only new believers, but those believers who have been struggling in a way to find out, where is my hope? Where is it in this book? Well, it's not in the book. In order to know this and understand this, you need to have a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We cannot do that if we're just reading a book. What we have to know, what we have to believe in our heart, and what we have to have faith in is that this is the Word of God. This is, you can sit out on your back porch and read the Word of God and have a relationship with the Word of God, like you're talking to your best friend, because that's what it's doing. But we also still have to have the knowledge and faith that this is the truth, that this is not a book. This is the grace-filled, love-filled, mercy-filled Word of God. And we have to stand on that truth, and we can't waver. And we have to give reverence to the author of that book as we move forward in our lives to build that relationship. Because if it's just a story in a book, there's no power in a book, just words. So if we, as disciple builders, which we are called to do by Jesus Christ, going into all the world and make disciples, also follow suit in removing the authority and power from God's word, are we truly following Jesus? What I mean is that by that is, do we, Or are we fearing in a manner that gives honor to the Father, Son, and Spirit? If we as the body of Christ do not fully believe that the Bible contains the full authoritative word of the Creator of all things, which we indicate in not giving honor to the author, then we are leading others astray in the gospel of Jesus. And just what I mean by that is, if we say the Bible, we don't have the faith or the confidence that this is truly the word of God. And that puts doubt in the hearts of the disciples that we're trying to build. And we never want to do that, because then we are blaspheming the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And that's not what we want to do. We want to exude, as the disciples did, 100% confidence that this is the word of God. This is the truth, and we stand on it alone. We do not waver, we do not falter, and we do not lead others astray by saying the Bible says, because the Bible didn't say anything. The Lord our God says it all in his word that we read in the collection of books and scripture and collection of scriptures that we have been given over 1,000 years by 40 different authors over what, 3 different continents, that this is the word of God. It can be trusted. We can stand on it. It is a representation, a physical representation of the rock of Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and Spirit that we are to stand on and have our hope placed in, because it shows us who it is. It helps us to build a relationship. It's the way it was always intended to be, not diminished by the lie of Satan that it's not exactly what it is, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. So if we limit our hearts, minds, and ears, the word of God, to just a book, then it's Satan's plan. He can change the book, because in the hearts of God's creation, there is no faith that it is the word of God, which holds the authority and power that God holds over all his creation. If y'all see me flipping pages here for the first time, if you're watching this on YouTube, you know, I usually don't have notes, but I wanted to make sure I hit some of these points in here to be very clear on what this, how important this is, as I see it, as God is, like I said, when I hear a pastor, a preacher say the Bible says, well, they're just, how come we are not given the reverence to God that he has provided us with his word? So again, just reiterate that point. So I wanted to write these notes. To me, this is the complacency of man at his finest, in assuming that everyone knows the Bible is God's word. I've been told by brothers in Christ, everybody knows the Bible. No, not everybody knows. Not everybody understands. And as teachers and as disciple builders, we can never assume until we know what others know that people understand this is God's word. The Bible, to those who do not have an intimate or close relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to know the Father through the Holy Spirit, doesn't know that it's God's word. It's just the Bible. Now, it's okay to say, if you're in church, grab your Bibles and let's turn to 1 Corinthians. And this is the word of God. This is what it says. Right? The Bible is the book, so we have to give it that in if we're turning. But when we're turning to something, the Bible doesn't say. God's word says. The Bible is the book. So hope you have your books that contain the word of God. But as we're standing on a stage or doing a podcast or referencing specific verses, chapters and verses, then we have to understand and make it clear to everyone hearing that it's not the Bible saying this. This is our Lord God. This is the Creator who created you before he put you in your mother's womb. We have to stand on that truth and we have to make that known. Therefore, again, it continues to carry the authority, the power, and the hope that it is meant to. There again, not all books give you that. That may give you hope for a short time, but not for eternity, which the Word of God is meant to lead you to, back to Him for eternity. So when I hear this, it's like the disciples falling asleep when Jesus was praying so hard, he was sweating blood, right? Before he was led to the cross. And that's in Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46, Mark 14, 32 through 41, and Luke 22, 39 through 46. That these were the disciples that Jesus chose to take with him to stand guard while he was praying and asking the Father if there was a different way to let it be, to take this cup from him. But if not, let his will be done. And he took these disciples with him, and what did they do? They fell asleep. And that's what we have done on saying that the Bible says instead of God's word says. We have fallen asleep. We have become complacent in our hearts toward God and his word. We don't have the reverence that we once had for what it means. You know, again, it goes back to Genesis 3, and we see the first thing Satan did was remove the title of the Lord from God's name. He removed the authority from what the Lord God had told Adam. So what does Lord mean, right? We hear it a lot. We read it in scripture a lot. The word of God is very clear on where he puts himself in his position over all creation. Right? And I'm not an English person, so all y'all grammar nerds, I don't know. I'm just telling you, I read the word. I understand what God has opened my eyes to understand. So what does Lord mean? Someone or something having power, authority, or influence, a master or ruler, which is exactly what the Father is. Father, Son, and Spirit. They all have power, authority, and influence, and are a master or a ruler over the creation. The ancient Hebrew used Lord, all caps, out of fear of saying God's true name, Yahweh. So even the Israelites had fear and reverence for the true name of God, Yahweh. So I had to know, what does reverence mean? A deep sense of awe, respect, and fear toward God and sacred things, which leads to worship, gratitude, and obedience. So where in saying the Bible says do we show any of those all respect and fear toward God? Sacred things, which is his text, that leads to worship, gratitude, and obedience. Doesn't, if we say the Bible says, we don't show any of these to our Creator, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in my humble opinion, as a follower of Christ, we don't do that anymore. We have lost the fear of the Lord our God. And that'll be the next episode after this one. When we talk about the Word of God, we must always first place the authority of God in it. Again, by saying the Bible says, we do not place any kind of authority or give it back to our Creator. We simply are lazy instead of giving the credit due where it belongs in the hands of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's easier to say in a sermon the Bible says it's quicker, saves time, makes us get out of there in our little 30 minutes of the corporate church. But as the body of Christ, we must stand firm. And when we reference it, if the corporate church is not going to do it, if the pastors and leaders of the corporate church are not going to, as the body of Christ, we must speak different. We have rendered it to just a book, and a book can be written, rewritten. God's word cannot. So again, we know through God's word that when God's people choose to seek idols above him, there are consequences. In those actions, God will discipline in the form of exile, wilderness, evil and abusive rulers, and even death to bring us back to him. All of these are examples in the first five books of God's word. Right, the Torah, they're all there. So today we do not hold the Lord God in the position of authority. That he, as the creator of all things, by saying God's word says, and we are not doing the same thing as Adam, that we must make sure we're not doing the same thing as Adam and Eve in the garden. Or are we? Yes, by not saying and giving him the authority and power and position that he deserves as the creator of all things, we're doing the exact same thing that Adam and Eve did in the garden. And we make a book our idol instead of the author. And he is the focus of our entire lives, should be the devotion of our entire lives, which is the Father, Son, and the Spirit first above everything else. We must seek his face and give him the position of authority in our lives that he has, whether you like it or not. That is the truth. God has the authority. God is in control of your body. God is the creator of things. And if he created it, he controls it. And the choice that you have is either to believe and have hope and trust in the fact that he is the creator of all things, that he is just, he is righteous, he is love. Right? We've seen this in the example of his son, Jesus Christ. He gave it to us. What more truth could we want of how much love God has for his creation? So we have to believe in that, and we have to not be so complacent, so comfortable in God's grace that we forget that he deserves and demands the honor and glory in which he deserves. And we must give it to him by not diminishing his word that he has given us to us, for us to know him better, by calling it simply a book, the Bible. No, we must give it the reverence and honor that it deserves, that leads us to a path that gets us back to him in order that we may have eternal life when he decides that all that he has chosen has been called. So, in saying that, I have been told personally many times and criticized by many brothers in Christ, which has led me to be silent, part of the reason I was gone for 6 months, that I read God's word wrong and that I misunderstand what God is saying in any particular verse, that it doesn't mean what it says. Again, back to my statement of faith, this is God's word. Even though it has been rewritten and have different translations and use different words here, there, and the other, we have to stand on the fact that it has not changed. And we see that when people inspect God's word and they, well, this word means this, and you go back to this. In the end, the original text that it was written from, and what we have now is exactly what God intended it to be for the time it was intended to be. Again, we have to have faith that our God will never leave us or forsake us, or he's never going to lead us wrong, and his word will stand, and we have to give it the honor and respect and the power and authority of the one who has given it to us. That's my belief. So we can try to break it down. Now, there's some context issues and what's going on culturally. Yeah, that we need to understand, or that we need to know for a better understanding of what's going on. But it doesn't change the principle, because the one thing it has not changed in all of God's word is humanity. We are the same now as we were in God's word from the beginning, seeking ourselves over God first and foremost. That's what it comes down to. Everything else is exactly the same. Different time, different circumstances, same humanity. Remember that. We are the same. God never changes. God is always the same. But we, as humanity, are like God, right? We continue to be evil, continue to seek ourselves, continue to live in sin, continue not to believe in the word of God. Why? Because it's diminished to a book that says, it's a book. There's no power. There's no truth. There's no authority. It's a great story. No, when we say this is the word of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, this is the one who parted the Red Sea for Moses, this is the one that has done all the miracles. And not only the old scriptures, the Old Testament, the Torah, the prophets, right? This is that God, and he has done all these things. That's where, in our faith in that God, is what gives us hope. And that hope does not come from a book. It comes from our Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the provision of the Holy Spirit. And our faith in his word is what has to matter. And that's where mine comes from. And that's where some of my brothers who have criticized me for asking, as this verse says in Matthew 5:48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we cannot be perfect. We cannot be perfect. I understand on our own, we can't be perfect. And man says we cannot be perfect. This does not mean perfect as in without sin. What we are trying to do is look like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who looked like the Father in heaven, right? We have the power of the living God living within us. He has chose to make us his temple. He has chose to live within us through his Holy Spirit. Now, they're all three different individuals and they perform different functions, but they are all still nonetheless God, the Father. So we do have that power. Now, as Jesus says, when they were in the garden, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? But if we're living in the flesh and not by the spirit, then are we truly trusting and believing and hoping in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in that we are a new creation? When we don't, this is man limiting and removing the power of God's word to the limitations of man, instead of the power and authority in God, which we've been doing from the beginning, right? We don't truly believe, because there is that doubt placed by Satan, that what God says is not what he means. And it's very clear in God's word, when God speaks something, he is very direct and he is very clear that it will be done. There's no need for us to doubt. We know the whole story, which is the difference as the people who wrote the Holy Scriptures that God inspired them to write, that God's word, they did not know the whole story as we know it. We have been given a gift. And we must honor and treasure that gift, that this, before anything else, God's word stands alone. Jesus battled Satan in his wilderness after he received the Holy Spirit with God's word. And Satan fled. Why? Because, one, he knew that Jesus was the one who wrote the word. So he wasn't going to win on the knowledge of the word and the will of the word. But Jesus used his word as a human to stand on God's truth, the Father's truth. So we see God calls us in his word to be holy as he is holy. Right? This is in Leviticus 19:2. Same command, right? As that we must be perfect as in Matthew. It's the same command. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Now remember, we are made in his likeness and image, right? And he commands us, and that's what the intent was. We were to be in the garden in the likeness and image of the Father, our Creator, without any of this. We chose self again over the Father. Whole different show. So, what does holy mean? So when God calls us to be holy, what does it mean? Set apart or separated for a sacred purpose, and also implies moral purity and wholeness. This, it applies to God, who is holy in his absolute purity and separation from sin. That's what he calls us to be. That's what Jesus says we are now that we are a new creation, through our faith and belief in him, through our death and resurrection symbolized by the baptism, right? And to believers who are called to be holy by being set apart from sin and devoted to God. In order to be devoted to God, we have to fully trust and believe that his word is the truth. Jesus was his word, the physical manifestation of God's word. So we must believe in that. But again, we see God giving us a command to be as he is, holy. This is not a suggestion, but a command. So why are we not living a holy life fully devoted to God? Because a book does not give us the hope that the word of God does, that we can step into and live in what God says we are to be. And the teachers of God's word have taken the authority of God out of his word and limited the holy truth of God, again, to a book, which does not carry the same weight and authority and power and truth that the word of God says. And just to note this, not in my notes, but to finish this up real quick. That's the reason so many people argue the fact that it's a book. Because we have taken God's word, the word of God, we've taken the power and authority out of it so that all non-believers look at his book and say, it's just a book. It's written. Yeah. And we understand there's going to be those that don't believe regardless, no matter what, just like Judas, right? But we have to put the power through our faith in our Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit, back into his word. We have to revere his word. It is not a Bible. It is not a book. It is the sacred word of God that he has shared with us so that we may be trained up to be in eternity with him, as it was intended, like I said in the last show, and we'll always say, back to the beginning, because that's where we're going. So, we cannot listen to the lie of Satan of, did God actually say? The Lord God says, ! That's what we have to stand on. That's the truth. That's the faith. That's the hope. That's the power. That's the authority that our Father in heaven, the Son, and the Holy Spirit deserve and demand that we have, the faith in His word, not a book. We must give honor and reverence back to where it belongs. And if we're not, then are we truly giving justice and honor to the Father, Son, and the Spirit? Or are we blaspheming by calling the authoritative power, truthful word of God, the Bible, a book? In the humble opinion of this follower of Christ, no, we are not. And that is dangerous and a slippery slope to be on when you're talking about the creator of the universe, who, yes, who does love us, who does show us grace, who does show us mercy, and who does forgive our sins. But when we know this is the word of God and we choose to reduce it to something else, repent and start changing our language as followers of Christ, that this is the word of God, that the word of God says, that the Holy Scriptures say, right? There's certain terms that we can give honor, or the sacred scriptures. We understand, right? But it's not a book. It is the powerful, all-authoritative word of God, period. So, I hope this helps. I hope it hadn't been too confusing. Like I said, the next episode coming out will be the fear of God. Do we still have it, or have we lost it? So, as you go out and do what you do, remember to answer the call of men.